Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. Most of you know I've been here almost 31 years at the station. Now we have a short-timer joining us today, Morehead State President Wayne Andrews, who's down to his final 3 weeks in the office. Man, it's hard to believe because I can remember when you came on campus back in 2005. We had some conversations and we got to know each other, and it just seems like yesterday that we were doing that.
Well, it's so true, isn't it? If you're not careful, you blink your eyes and a segment of your life has gone by. We have had 12 and a half wonderful years here in Morehead, but it's hard to believe it's 12 and a half years and it's going to end here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's 12 and a half years. I mean, as you look back, have you had time to reflect yet, or will you do that after you leave?
Well, I've been asked a lot about what we've accomplished, what we've enjoyed, all the questions that you would expect. What are you going to do in retirement and so forth? But we've been really busy, really up through this time, and now we're, kind of heavy into the packing operation. So I suspect we'll do our best reflection once we settle and have a chance to put our feet up and just talk about things. But we have great and fond memories of what we've accomplished.
You and I have chatted here from time to time about the remaining time you had left here at Morehead State. And it sounds like, to me at least, that you've been too busy to really think about anything but finishing what you have to do here.
Yeah, I'm pretty active in terms of the agenda we've set. And my belief always has been, when they're paying you to do a job, you need to show up and do the job. You don't sort of check out a month ahead of time just because you're headed toward retirement. So I still have a to-do list. I still have items on the list, and I'm coming to work every day to work through that. Yesterday, we finished the final board meeting that I'll participate in, Board of Regents meeting, where they approved the budget for the university. A significant effort went into the preparation of all that. So, you can sort of breathe a sigh of relief. We've passed that marker, meet with the foundation board this afternoon, and, kind of review with them where we are. So, we still have a lot to do.
I was going to talk to you about the Board of Regents meeting here in just a moment, but as far as your to-do list, what types of things in these last few weeks do you feel like are critical for you to get done?
Well, the most important thing, I think, at this point is to make sure that any of the issues that are still on the table that we've been working on, procedural issues, there are always contracts and things that are in play that need to be attended to, and so some of that. In addition to that, last week on Thursday, I met with a donor in Chattanooga, a really good prospect to help us with our Alumni Welcome Center. I need to follow up with that individual. I've got to make a few other donor calls and see if I can close out some business there. So it's that kind of thing. The CPE meeting is coming up next week, and we have a few items on the agenda there. I want to make sure we've covered all of that. So, it's that kind of activity. It's nothing extraordinary, but it's part of the ongoing work you do as a president of an institution.
Well, talking about the Board of Regents meeting, I spoke to Arlo Barnett, the reporter that covered for us that meeting yesterday, and he had mentioned that you discussed a plan possibly to talk with state officials or have someone start to talk this conversation with state officials about trying to find more money perhaps for projects and other things here.
Yeah, one of the things that we discussed was that the CPE, the staff people at the Council on Post-Secondary Education, have proposed that they might advance the idea in this next biennial budget to put a fee on students that would be held at each institution. It would be paid for students at the institution, a per-credit hour fee, held at the institution, and that those dollars would be used for capital improvement. The General Assembly used to fund capital improvement. They're no longer doing that. We've got aging buildings that need attention. So that was the idea. Now, it's just an idea. It hadn't been formalized into a proposal. I'm not sure yet that it has universal support. I expressed some concerns about it. It's an interesting idea. But, when you think about it, where we've driven tuition hard, it would be outside of the tuition parameter, but it would still be tacked on to students as tuition. So, I think there's a limit. And, of course, the other side of that for me is every building on this campus belongs to the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It's not the property of Morehead State University. It's the property of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And it's my belief that the Commonwealth has an obligation to maintain facilities.
Do you believe if this is passed, it could help slow the growth of tuition rates among the universities in Kentucky?
No. In fact, I think it'll actually continue to accelerate it, because what it would do is add a percentage to what students pay as part of tuition. Call it tuition or fee, whatever they're going to call it, students would have to pay for it. So it would in fact accelerate the increase. And at the same time, we're going to have to continue to have some tuition increases to keep up with inflation, all the things we have to do to run an institution. So that's why I express caution. I'm not suggesting I'm opposed to the idea, but I do think we ought to be cautious in our approach, make sure we discuss it thoroughly and understand the impacts of it.
I know that many of the projects that have been done here on campus have been self-bonded by Morehead State. One of the exceptions coming to mind is the project at the Adrian Dorn University Center, which is completely state money. That's $49 million. But everything else, it seems like here lately, has been self-bonded. Would this change that, perhaps, and maybe free up money for the general operating budget?
Likely not. You know, I mean, I guess it really depends. These are the right questions that we should ask when the debate continues. And, you know, Dr. Morgan, of course, will be here to lead that discussion on behalf of this institution. But I think those are the right questions. We have borrowed a lot of money, about $60 million in institutional bond indebtedness that's agency funded. And that money is directed entirely towards the renovation of the halls that we did, the six residence halls, plus building the new Andrews Hall, the 550 beds there. So we've taken on a good bit of bond debt, but that's not education and general funding. It's not state funding. It's money that is being paid for with revenue streams from students. So one of the things we need to be sure going forward is that we keep occupancy at a reasonable level in our halls, because that's what's funding this.
Because of continued state funding cuts since 2008, tuition has climbed, and I know that a 4.9% increase has been approved for the 2017-18 budgetary year. And just your thoughts about that. I have to believe in some ways you're disappointed that you have to continue to increase it by 3 to 5% on an annual basis.
Well, there's no question about it, and you know the backdrop of it, of course, is that we've had to do those increases because we continue to have cuts to the general fund appropriation that the Commonwealth of Kentucky provides, and so we're in a catch-22. I do believe, though, we're reaching a tipping point, where if we continue to drive tuition, we're going to restrict the students that are able to come to the university. And access and affordability have always been two significant concepts that we've worked with here at our university and across Kentucky. We're all mindful of that. We know that if you want to improve the lives of people, you've got to provide better education. And better education through higher education is an important piece of that. And yet we have to be able to provide it at an affordable rate. And we have to be careful going forward.
Have you gotten – I know we talked originally about the performance-based funding model that will be implemented, and at that point I think you're still trying to figure out maybe some of the ramifications of it, and we may not know really for a year, two, 3 years, but have you gotten a better handle on what you think might happen with this and how it might impact MSU?
Well, there's no question that the performance funding model as approved and as it will be implemented are going to have a negative impact on Morehead State University. We're a small school. We're not on a border state. We don't enroll a high percentage of out-of-state students. And therefore, the model is going to work against us. And then in addition to that, there's a component in the model that's about equalization, bringing the funding per full-time equivalent student at every campus to the same level that we have at Morehead State University. So the net effect of all that will be Morehead State University will see its budget reduced through performance funding. Now, once equalization is achieved, then the competitive nature of the formula will be we will be competing against the other universities in Kentucky. And then that will be based on rates of improvement, graduation rates, retention rates, progression rates, closing the gaps in performance rates. I think once we get to that place, we'll be competitive. Our concern all along has been, though, that in the intervening period, we'll continue to lose money and we'll be in a deficit position by 2021 when all holes are taken off, no stop loss, no hole harmless, the model is fully implemented, 100% of our funding. At that point, we believe we'll be in a deficit position. And while we should be able to compete on outcome measures, we're going to be slugging it out coming out of a hole. So it's going to be a big challenge. And I think that we have put in place the right things with our strategic enrollment plan, which the board approved yesterday. It's substantive. It's comprehensive. We know what we want to do, and we're already working on that. Our enrollment numbers for fall are looking strong at this point because we've done a lot of good things to cause that to happen. So I'm optimistic on one level, but the performance funding measure itself is not going to help Morehead State University.
It would seem, at least on the surface, as you look at the situation with performance-based funding and how it will likely negatively impact Morehead State, that almost the only answer you can come up with in some ways is to try to enroll more and more and more students and about everybody you can just to kind of make up for the lack of funding you might have to deal with.
Yeah, so if you really want to be crass about it and say, you know, what could you absolutely do if it didn't matter how you went about it? What would you do to drive performance? Well, you would recruit the very best students that you could, those that are most well prepared for school, because we're going to be evaluated on progression. Students that complete 30 hours freshman year, sophomore year, 60, junior year, 90, graduate in 4 years, we're going to be evaluated on the rates of graduation. We're going to be evaluated on the gaps between those students that come from socioeconomically challenged communities versus the majority population, those kinds of things. So go after the very, very best students. That would be one. And the second thing is drive enrollment. Build your numbers up. Go for out-of-state students and pile them in here. Now, think about our historical mission at Morehead State University. We grew up here based on the vision that Dr. Frank Button and his mother had, which was to bring light to the mountains of eastern Kentucky at a time when, as you know, Chuck, this region was greatly challenged after the Rowan County Wars. Now, I know we're no longer in the 19th century. We're in the 21st century. But we have a history here of serving our region. Still fully 52 or 3% of our students come from the 22 counties of eastern Kentucky that we've served traditionally. If one were to follow those two ideas that I suggested were the kinds of things you could do, we would be abdicating our responsibility to this region. And I have made that argument to the policymakers and said, we don't want to do that. That's not in the best interest of the people we're here to serve. So one set of tensions going forward is to make sure we continue to serve the region in a thoughtful way, but we're going to have to attend to those outcome measures at the same time.
I'm going to say this. This is my problem with the performance-based funding model, quite frankly, is that it takes much of the responsibility for a student's education off that student and lays it back on the university. In other words, you have to make sure that they complete so many hours. You have to make sure that they're retained. You have to make sure that they get their diplomas. At what point does the student take responsibility for his own or her own education? That's where I have a problem, because here's what I could see it leading to, and I hope this doesn't happen, is that what you say, well, you've got a student in class who's failing. And so someone looks around and says, you know what, we need to pass that person because we need the money. We can't let that person fail. We can't let that person not succeed. We have to move them up the line and give them the credit hours that they need to move along so we can get state funding. And that just seems totally wrong to me, because you wind up sending people out of a university with a diploma and perhaps not the education behind it.
Yeah, I think everybody's mindful of the danger here in changing the culture of an institution where it's just to get them in and get them out and not really pay attention to quality. I don't believe that'll happen at Morehead State University. I think our faculty, our academic leadership, our student support people, nobody would buy into that kind of a philosophy. I think it's foolhardy, because in the end you damage your reputation as an institution. You become a diploma mill, and that doesn't serve the interests of anybody to graduate people that are underprepared or not prepared. So, but it is a danger. I think that has to always be on the radar screen, and we have to remind ourselves we can't go to that place. To your point, though, about students taking responsibility, I think it is absolutely critical that when we recruit students, that they understand what their role in this enterprise is, what their responsibility is. We can provide student and academic support services to assist them, but they have to show up to class. They have to do the homework. If they need tutoring, we can provide that. So I think we have to do an increasingly better job of being organized to tell the students the expectations we have, to surround them with appropriate services, and then to hold them accountable for their actions.
Again, our guest today on the front page is retiring Morehead State President Dr. Wayne Andrews, who's not retired yet because he's here today and he's here for the next few weeks before he leaves the campus here on July 1st. I'm Chuck Meraz, back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tony Weaver for Health Matters. This week we present the Emergency Show number 2, where we pretty much talk about the same things we talked about last week, but we have a creative segment where we use your complaints about last week to fill in a section of this week. Now, most people don't understand this high-tech programming, but it's still the same quality Health Matters. Tune in, ask your doctor if Health Matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Meraz. We're talking with Morehead State University President Dr. Wayne Andrews, who retires here on June 30th, and his successor, Dr. Jay Morgan, replaces him on July 1st. And I know, Dr. Andrews, you've been talking with Dr. Morgan and working with him to prepare him to take on this challenging role, haven't you?
I have. We've had a number of conversations, both in person and on the phone. We have more scheduled here in the last few weeks. And my goal is to make sure that we have a seamless transition, that he understands to the best of my ability to communicate that, you know, what the challenges and issues are that we face. And, of course, the advantage that he has is he's in Kentucky. He's been at the Council on Post-Secondary Education. So I don't think he's going to be surprised by anything here. He has a very good awareness of higher ed in Kentucky. But we'll make sure that we do everything we can to assure that there's a good, successful transition.
And for people who may not know it, he was one of the authors of the performance-based funding model. So if anybody can negotiate through it and work with it, it would probably be Dr. Morgan.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's accurate, though, Chuck, to say that he was one of the authors. I think the leadership at the council, and he was part of that, of course, but my sense is that Bob King, who is the council president, Bill Payne, who's the finance person at the council, and in a small group of his team, really were the detailed people in the development of the model. And then, of course, the governor put together that task force that you'll remember, and that was all of us presidents, council members, a member of the General Assembly from the House and one from the Senate. And so it had some broad participation in its development. I think it is very true to say that he understands the formula, the composition of it, and certainly the impacts of it.
Of course, you mentioned he worked at the CPE. Before that, he was at Murray State. He was a faculty member. Then he was the provost there. So he has a pretty good idea of what's happening at the higher ed level.
Yes, I think that's a fair statement.
So what types of things do you feel like that he may need to hit the ground running with when he starts on July 1st?
Well, the things that, you know, really that I've encouraged and will continue to do so, you know, of course, you just have the daily operation of the office. The summertime is a good time to transition. Things are a little slow around here in the summer, but there's just a lot of business that is conducted in the summer at the university. So that's one thing is, you know, just the business of the office. The second, and I think the most important thing for any new person coming into the role, is take the time to get to know the people, the principals that work here. He'll have to get to know the members of his cabinet and, you know, to kind of assess where things are in each of the functional areas of the university. And then I know he has a genuine desire, and I support this 100%, to get out into the region to meet the superintendents, the business leaders, the community leaders throughout our service region. And he's working on plans to do that. So that's what he's going to be doing this summer. Plus, remember, he and his wife are expecting a child in early July. So he's going to be a new dad, and he's going to be busy on the home front as well. So it's going to be very busy for him. And I hope that people will just give him time to breathe. You know, he's got to move, he's got to settle, he's got to get his family. Kids in school, all things parents have to do, and then in addition, you know, get on to the task at the office and beyond. And certainly he's capable of doing all that. I've said to him, Jay, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And so, you know, approach it that way.
Did you approach it that way, though, when you came in?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'd have to really think through that. I believe I probably went at it pretty hard, and that's why I understand when you're new in a job like this, you really want to get into the agenda because you have a lot to learn. You have a lot on your mind. You have ideas and things you want to work with. So I think that's it. But now, one difference, though, when I came here in January of 2005, Sue was teaching school back in Johnson City. So I left her behind for about 6 months, and I was here living on campus in a Martindale house because they were doing some safety improvements and renovations to the President's home. And so I lived over there, and, you know, I was all by myself. So, you know, I'm an early riser. I'd get to the office early in the morning, 7 o'clock, and, you know, in the evening, I'd go eat with the students in one of the residence halls and then do the business throughout the day. So I wasn't constrained in a sense with all the other things, and they're not constraints, but I didn't have the same family pressures and other things that Dr. Morgan will have just because the circumstances are different. But I did go home on the weekends, you know, most weekends. And Sue came up, we alternate. She came up a weekend, I'd go down.
So you got a tire allowance in your contract.
We spent a lot of time on the road the first 6 months. But it was all doable and it worked out okay.
As you look back at the 12 and a half years at Morehead State, what are you most proud of?
Well, a number of things. First of all, one of the things that the board asked me to do right out of the gate was to really pay attention to the relationships within our community, the Morehead community and in the immediate region. And so, you know, I really turned my attention to that in a serious way. We developed strong relationships with the mayor, Brad Collins at the time, with the judge executive. I got involved in the Economic Development Council. We started, as you will remember, that whole New Cities Initiative. And we brought a group in to help us, university and community, plan, look to the future. We were involved in doing several things that benefited the community. I was approached to buy Eagle Trace Golf Course the very first month or two I was here, and I said to the folks that approached me, "Nah, I'm not doing that the first month." But a year later, they came back, and it seemed more doable. The price was more reasonable. We turned our attention that we raised $1,600,000 in private money to do that, and look what that's done for our community. There's probably 50 or 60 homes that have been built there since we bought the course, and we've made improvements there to continue to make that an asset for our community. We were involved in the deal to enable the fiscal court. It started with Judge Thomas, but it ended with his successor. Couldn't come up with his name.
Jim Nickel.
Jim, thank you. With Judge Nickel. And, we offered the Cowden property in exchange with some money for the old courthouse and jail property. And you can see what happened there. We have a new justice center, a new courthouse. So we started out by saying we're going to improve. So that's one thing I'm really proud of. The second thing, and really important for me, is if you looked at the condition of our campus, the infrastructure of this place, it needed a lot of attention. So we did a really thorough job of planning to understand what needed to be done. We put in place plans to renovate residence halls, to improve campus infrastructure, and then we've been working the plan ever since, and it's paid off. I mean, if you look at the IT infrastructure on campus as an example, we now have a very robust fiber optic double ring. It's a redundant ring. We've put Wi-Fi throughout the campus. We've put new technology in our buildings. There's still more of that going on, of course. We revised the core curriculum of the university, the general education core, back in, I think it was 07, 08. We went from 128-hour requirement to graduation back to 120, which was more reasonable to allow students to graduate in 4 years. We worked on salary improvements for faculty and staff, amongst all these things where we were having difficult budget challenges. So those are some of the things that I'm most proud of. I got up every day, and I've said this to everybody that I've talked about, I got up every day with the attitude, "Lord, thank you for the blessing of a new day. Help me do my job the best I can to improve the place where I'm committed to work, to follow on in the tradition, Frank and Phoebe Button, those that came beyond. And what I'm going to do, I hope, is leave the foundation in good order for Dr. Morgan, who I expect will build on it just as I built on it as I found it.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I've enjoyed the discussion, as always, and appreciate your service to Morehead State University.
Well, thank you, Chuck. It's been a delight and a pleasure, and I'm sure I'll see you down the road at homecoming or other functions that are important for us to attend.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Retiring Morehead State President Dr. Wayne Andrews, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.